here. We have a smallish turnout, but we'll make the best of it. We're looking for an interactive session too, where we have a lot of back and forth. Good to get feedback from you and the audience here. So it's going to be primarily Daniel here is our expert within Microsoft. Me, who is not the expert on the technology, but I know what I want it to do. So that's it. And then we've got Kathy Brennan over here from American Express, who is our she helps us get it the fulfillment done. So the people answering the phones and that side of things, she's in charge of. So new virtual call centers powered by Microsoft Link. And this is actually link-to-link calls. Everybody at Microsoft, surprise, surprise, is using Link as our primary phone. I don't know what you use without it, but I suppose you use little dial phones or something like that. So first I wanted to find out a little bit more about who you are. And anybody here running call centers, looking at call center things, looking for a little bit more, is, you know, what are your areas of interest that you want to learn from this session? IT managers, you know, what sort of thing? Yeah? Okay, okay. Yeah, okay, okay, good. So we at least have a potential one here.
Okay, good.
We're a Link 2013 shop, but we're also in a live contact center.
Okay.
And looking as to exactly if we're where Link would fit in the contact center space.
Perfect.
Okay, okay, great. Anyone else want to sort of, any, you want to make sure there's a topic that we cover or that we get your demographic covered? Okay, we'll just go ahead with this. And here's the intro. I think we have two intro slides, so I don't need to tell you again, but I'm the Senior Travel Manager of Strategy and Technology for Microsoft Travel. I'll give you a little overview. We're looking to go beyond just sort of a regular travel management team within procurement, which is typically what you, I mean, every big corporation is going to have a team like this, typically a global team, works with agencies and things like that. We're looking to go beyond that. We want to be leaders within the industry, so it's leveraging new innovative technology that showcase Microsoft technology. We want to be a trusted partner for our business stakeholders, driving value and global efficiency. And most of all, and this is probably certainly the hardest part, but it's the most fun part also, is creating effortless travel for employees. So it's a predictive, seamless, and intuitive travel experience across locations and devices. Now, each of you traveled here, and it never goes as smoothly as it should, right? You're still trying to figure out which taxi line to get in, how do I get there, how much is it going to cost? These things sound familiar at all. Where's my seat going to be? Where's my luggage going to come out? How long do I have to wait? These sort of things. Well, everybody does this. And here, I'll show you a little bit of the scale of what this is for Microsoft. So within MS Travel, we're in more than 80 countries right now, about 60,000 travelers. That's 800 million plus in spend. So you know, we're spending $2 to $3 million a day on T&E, and that's about 5,000 people traveling every day. So there's 5,000 people at any one time that could have an issue, right? A weather event could affect many, many thousands of people. And we know that this happens. So we're a good test case, though, because we know that this sort of thing happens to all of your companies, big, small, medium, anywhere in between. So we're trying to solve some of those problems using technology. We're trying to use familiar tools also. Access through Link, Outlook, SharePoint, things like that. So that it's you know, just easy, intuitive forms. Excel, I'll give you a good example. I use Excel for about all of our global reporting. We have 1.5 million trips in a single Excel file. But instead of going and using a different technology, we're trying to use just standard technologies that everybody is familiar with, that we can have a lot of users. We've got the Link call centers, which we'll go into a lot more detail here in the future. And we are moving to a single online booking tool globally. So there's maybe 3 or 4 companies that have done that worldwide, and so we're really trying to push to get a single standard experience for all of our travelers all around the world. Now, a little bit more about the virtual call centers that are powered by Link. We want employee benefits, and at the end of the day, everything, if it isn't going to make it better for the traveler, we don't want to do it, right? We know there might be a little dip, there might be a new adoption, but we want to make it better. We want it to be simpler. You know, one Link phone number for all types of phone reservations and travel agency support around the world. Efficiency, automatic identification. So I know who you are. I can route your call based on who you are you know, just better information. Oh, I forgot a bullet there. We used to have 7 phone numbers on each itinerary. So as a traveler, not only did you, if you had ran into trouble, did you have to call somebody, but you had to figure out who to call or which of these to call, depending on where you were, depending on time of day. All of those things we're working to get rid of with Link. From the business stakeholders, we have reduced telecom costs, obviously. So our costs have gone down dramatically there. We've also gone reduced real estate costs for the agency. We actually closed our office with about, what was it, 65?
60 70? Plus resources.
Yeah. So we were able to close that office, move everybody home. I should also put in there probably agent benefit. We were just talking about that the agents now don't have to commute into work. They're saving time, money, gas, everything by being able to work virtually. And also we're looking for a consistent global service. We want this to be the same anywhere. We have people moving all over the world. You might be in Switzerland, and then you might move to the United States and move to China. We don't want a completely different experience for each of those people. So Link is one of the things that we're looking at to make that very, very consistent. And in fact, I could show you, let me do a quick, this is a off-the-cuff demo, which, but to show you how it works. So I go into Link, I'll just show you here. So it opens up, I'll go in, I can just search in for MS. As I start typing in MS Travel, and then I see, okay, there's a little green light for MS Travel US.
So basically a contact, right?
Yep, it's just a contact now.
So this is where the ops manager gets nervous, right?
Yeah. Oh, here.
Your call may be recorded for quality purposes.
So it's routed me into the United States there. I'm not going to go to an agent right now. But so from that, it identified who I was, it routed my call directly in the United States, and then it pre-populates my information when the agent answers the call. So really, we take a lot of those steps out that initially you would have had to type in a number, you would have had to make some sort of a call tree or something like that. And eventually, we're not quite there yet, but we want to get it so you're delivering a lot of really rich information. So imagine if they knew, if I'm calling right now, chances are pretty good that I'm calling because I'm on a trip and something has changed. I need a flight earlier or later. It might be really urgent. Whereas if I call, say somebody that never travels calls up, their first phone call within 6 months, they're probably calling for a new reservation. Different priority, we can actually look at things differently based on how they're traveling or where they are in the cycle. So with that, I'm going to bring John Rauschenberger up here for a bit to tell you a little bit about some of the Clarity technology that we've got here.
Excuse me. Thank you, Eric. So I'm going to take just a couple of minutes and talk about our product, Clarity Connect, and how it enables Microsoft and other customers to deploy the kinds of solutions that Eric just did a very nice off-the-cuff demo of. Very quickly, in terms of who we are a software company. We build software on Microsoft's platform, both custom software as well as products. We're based in Chicago, and we, about 6 years ago, created a practice area focused on Microsoft's Unified Communications products. And that came through the work we did in helping the Microsoft teams build the training content for those platforms. And this is pure developer stuff, so this isn't deploying and configuring Link, but this is writing software to make it do things that the product doesn't do out of the box. And through that practice area, we made the decision to build a contact center product and bring it to market. And our focus there was doing it as a native Link product and taking full advantage of the investment Microsoft had made in the capabilities that Link provides. So things like inherently multimodal, along with client-side extensibility, so being able to deliver not just a call, but also deliver application functionality directly to an agent, and doing that all using the platform that Microsoft had provided with Link on both the server as well as on the customer side. And we did. We brought the first native Link contact center product to market. And when I say native Link, what I mean is that our software is built and installed and deployed and managed just like any of the other Link server roles. So like the Link AV MCU or the front end server, we're simply another piece of software running on a virtual or a physical server that extends Link with the capabilities that you need to run a contact center. And through that partnership with Microsoft and the bet we made on building it as a native solution, we have been able to take advantage of all the enhancements that Microsoft makes, and Skype interoperability is a great example. So our customers today can take calls not just from the Link client, as Eric just showed, but also from the Skype client. And that's not work that we had to do. We simply wrote on top of the investment Microsoft made, not only in purchasing Skype, but also in integrating it with Link. Now, when I talk about the capabilities that you need to run a contact center, you know, this is at a very high level what we extend Link with. The types of things you would expect to run, you know, a full-fledged, complex, large, globally dispersed contact center. And really what we're providing is that call routing engine and that call handling engine so that you can create the call treatment, as Eric showed, where we're going to do some data integration to figure out who you are. We're going to present you with the appropriate call treatment. And ultimately, we're going to get you into a queue where we're going to use our skills-based routing engine to find the best available agent. Now, on top of all that, though, we also need to make sure that you have the visibility you need to run that contact center well. So both real-time and historical metrics that allow you to see how are we performing today and how are we performing relative to last week and last year. At its core, that's really what our product does in terms of the capabilities that we add on top of Link. And I've mentioned this a couple of times, but we are a native solution, and that does really simplify both the integration as well as the operation of the platform. So getting it installed and configured and working with your Link environment is the same process that your people, whether they're your own employees or the partner that you work with, went through to get the other server roles up and running. But then more importantly, operating it and keeping it running and healthy, all of our calls are native Link calls, both at the signaling and the media level. So doing things like making sure that your network is handling the traffic well and is delivering a good quality of service on those calls is going to be the same whether that's a two-party call between two individuals in your company or it's a call that came through our product and got connected to an agent because they're all native Link calls. And this does very much simplify the deployment of a contact center in a Link environment. If you think about how this would be done with a non-native product, you're going to have this whole set of infrastructure that is outside of the Link call flow and the Link path that you're going to need to deal with. Typically, that's done through some type of interoperability where the call basically leaves the Link world, goes into the contact center world, and may or may not ever come back into your Link environment. If you contrast this with what a native solution looks like, you can see the call is always handled within the Link environment, the signaling, the media, even on the desktop, there's no additional technology that needs to be introduced for the contact center to handle that call. And I mentioned on the agent side, this is another important area where we made a decision to not introduce another piece of software. Rather, we are entirely dependent on what we can do within the Link client. So we use web technologies to deliver a full agent console experience, but that's done directly in the Link client. So we don't have our own agent desktop software that needs to be installed and managed and versioned. Instead, everything is managed on the server and pushed down to the client. And then lastly, we did see briefly this morning in Gurdeep's keynote demo a window into what's coming in terms of in-browser communication capabilities. Today and earlier this year, we shipped for the first time a web gateway product which enables web chat. And this is, again, riding on top of the investment Microsoft is making in extending the reach of Link into browsers. Today, with what we're shipping, it's chat only. But you saw in the keynote this morning, voice and video and a rich experience all done in-browser. Well, we're working with Microsoft to make sure that as soon as that technology ships in Link, we'll enable that same capability through our product to handle contact center calls. So think about putting a click-to-call button on your website and being able to handle an audio call, include video, and potentially in a support scenario, also enable desktop sharing. Now, we talk about who's using our product. We've been very fortunate over the last 2 to 3 years to grow along with Microsoft Link. When we first built the product back in the OCS 2007 timeframe, not a lot of companies were making a big bet on running their voice workloads on Link or on OCS at the time. As that's changed, we've seen companies like those listed up here now make that bet and be willing to run important parts of their business from a voice workload standpoint on Link. And we're powering contact centers in all of these companies. And these are not small contact centers. In some cases, we're talking about 300 to 400 agents spread across 15 to 20 locations around the globe. So fully geo-dispersed contact centers all running on top of Link with our software basically sitting as a traffic cop in the middle directing those calls. And then lastly, in terms of how do you get the software, how do we make it available to our customers, we really have three different models for how we make the Connect software available to customers. The most common one would be that the software is installed on-premise and integrates natively with the Link infrastructure that's running in your environment. And that can be run on a physical or a virtual server, just like Link can. We also have hosting partners who make it an add-on available to their hosted Link offerings. And then lastly, we also have a deployment model where we can deploy our software in a hosting partner's data center, but route calls to agents that are running off of an Office 365 hosted instance of Link. And there, we're taking advantage of our support for federation. So So we can see and enroll agents into the contact center across a federated connection between the hosted link environment and Office 365. The calls can come in as PSTN calls that get routed to our software in the hosting partner's environment, and then we simply reach across that federated bound to find an available agent and to route the call to them. We have a number of customers running that, in some cases fairly large call centers, and Microsoft is actually using that federated model as well. I'm sure Kathy will touch on some of that as she goes through it. But all of these models, the net effect is that the software operates exactly the same, and we're simply riding on top of Link. So with that, I'll hand it back over to Kathy. If you have more questions, we are in the exhibit hall down in booth 615. We're happy to answer questions or run through a demo there as well.
Thanks, John. Thank you, everybody. And now I'm going to take you through a little bit of the operational nuts and bolts. So as Eric said, I'm responsible for the travel counselor. So Microsoft is a very large, very global travel customer, and so I'm responsible for the team that actually interacts with all of the travelers. So I like to call them the miracles at point of sale because they're the ones that are going to get you where you need to go. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how we're set up. I'm going to talk about our evolution with Link and with Clarity, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the implementation timeline so you know how long it took, and then I'm going to share some sexy data that I like as an ops manager that I use to manage the team and our service levels to Microsoft. So feel free to ask any questions, but if you just take a look, this is a snapshot of how we're set up. As Eric said, the travel counselors are all virtual. We actually have them on a Microsoft laptop as well as an American Express laptop. As you can see on the left-hand side of the screen, the traveler or travel arranger can come into the center through any Link-enabled device. The travel counselor then interacts with the traveler on Microsoft, which actually helps to enhance that know me, you're on my team, you've got my back, you know, we're all part of the same organization. We then process the reservation on the Amex laptop because that gives us the point of sale technology and tools that we need for, you know, proficiency as well as quality. And then they go back and talk to the customer through Microsoft on Link. And it really does, again, create that, you know, we're all in the same boat together, and I'm the person that's going to get you on your way most expeditiously. So how are we transcending the call center experience with our Link platform today? So yesterday's paradigm offered, you know, bricks and mortar, call center. We had an unconsolidated global marketplace. We really were in the traditional local telephone service environment, two-dimensional communication. So as we progress to the Link platform, we now have Microsoft providing the infrastructure with Link, and then Clarity providing the intelligent call routing that really allows us to offer this specialized service from a virtual environment. It also, the automatic recognition has a couple of different benefits, but mostly, you know, knowing that customer is key. And where do we want to go? Well, we have big plans. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. We really want this accessible, transparent communication 24/7. And so we are working to move that direction. Seamless Link experience with intuitive modalities, including voice, IM, is on the horizon, and email integration this year. We also want to look at streaming video and screen sharing. Imagine being able to have the travel counselor show you their screen. Here's where we're taking you. Here's the connections. Here's what we're doing. How great would that be to feel confident? Because as long as I've been in the travel business, when they're clacking away, I'm like, what the heck are you doing? I want to know what you're looking at, and I want to be able to view it. So imagine being able to take the traveler through that experience before they even get on the road and they know what's going on. So how was the implementation? Well, so we had American Express, we had Microsoft, many different entities in Microsoft, Daniel, thank you, as well as Clarity, and we were all collaborating to make the right decisions for a smooth deployment, but also the great thing is that we were all at point of arrival looking for that seamless customer experience. And so just to give you an idea of the roadmap, we started in April of last year with a proof of concept with Clarity. You know, the idea was formed and we started to see how that was going to look. We actually moved into UAT in August and definitely spent some time in that area. And then we actually launched Link in the U.S. Now, U.S. is 60% of the travel program, travel volume, so it's a very significant team. So as Eric said, 60-plus resources that we were launching on this tool, that we did this in mid-October, which is also, could I tell you, the busiest travel season of the year. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. No pressure. But so once we launched Link in the U.S., we wanted to make sure that was stable, and then we went to the executive desk. So note to self, good idea to make sure it's stable for Joe Traveler before you bring on the executives, and that was a good thing. And then we brought in Canada, so we were able to consolidate the Canadian business into the U.S. And the whole time, we were making plans to close this massive brick-and-mortar on-site and move our people virtual, and so we were able to do that at the end of December. In January, we launched the United Kingdom and Ireland, and have been successfully transacting on Link Voice in those marketplaces. And we've got Australia and New Zealand on the horizon for, I think it's Q2 this year. We also are waiting for Clarity's next deployment, and we're going to start to integrate IM and experiment with that. So this is going to be really innovative and moving, you know, this whole interaction piece forward, because how great it would be just to IM, but also have that data available to me as an ops manager, so I know how to manage the call flows, so I can ensure that I have the right people in the right place at the right time for when the business is going to come in. Any questions about the implementation time frame? Okay, well, I'm going to move to what I like to look at in terms of managing the operation, and this is, I really love, this is a supervisor dashboard. I think it's kind of got kind of that sexy Batman look, you know, so I like that. But basically what this offers me is just a real overview, a snapshot of real-time SLA monitoring. So how are we doing? How are we fulfilling for our customer? And what's really cool about this, I can see any queue at any time in terms of what we're doing, but there's also a KPI alert feature, so you're not always looking at the supervisor dashboard as much as I would like all of my team leaders to be paying attention to that. They've got a lot of other responsibilities too, so there's a KPI alert feature that actually can let you know if you're falling below target and what you need to do, you know, immediately to put the right people in place to get those calls answered or those IMs answered. So very neat feature, and certainly something that we use regularly. This next slide is very busy, but basically what I'm showing you here is the event session history. As soon as the interaction comes in, it's assigned a session number, which is great in terms of tracking, understanding what happened to that interaction, and it also allows behavioral feedback. You know, you took a long time on that call. Did you have trouble? When we're talking to the travel counselor and immediate leadership consultation, I need some help. You know, and it's also a great opportunity with this level of detail as a customer research tool. So we found maybe even more uses than Clarity had, huh, Jeremy? And this is my favorite part. This is actually, again, understanding who the traveler is, who's the caller. So it checks caller identity. But in the same, so it gives great customer service from knowing the customer, but a side benefit is that there's fraud protection, right? So nobody who isn't allowed to be making reservations is calling in. And you can see basically on the left-hand side of the screen, system in red, it's checking for the SIP address, that this is a real event. It checks the number, it's not a known number, so on it shows you this is false, basically, over there. Okay, and then it goes, okay, well, Joe, who are you? You're trying to call into our travel center, so we want you to enter your employee ID. So then the caller enters their employee ID. Oh, now we recognize you. So then now we know you're U.S.-based. We know you need to talk to Marge. And by the way, Marge has all of your trips right there at her fingertips and your profile. So if you want to talk about an existing trip, you want to make a new one, we're ready to service you the minute that we connect. And it's really a huge time saver, and it's a great customer satisfier. Wouldn't you like to have your travel counselor have all of your data at their fingertips when you call in, so you don't have to go through, who am I? Yes, it's a trip on the 27th, it's a trip to Chicago. All of that is eliminated. We can go straight to business at hand. Last but not least, this is just This call diagnostic session is just an overview of what happened to the call, so you can see when it came in. Again, you can see how it was handled. In this case, it was transferred. So at the bottom of the screen, you can see the agents that actually participated in the call and who was involved. So they basically retrieved the call within seconds, and then recorded sessions are readily available for review immediately. So the counselor can say, oh, I may have forgotten something the traveler told me. They can go back and play it for themselves, or if there is a leadership consultation feedback that needs to happen, it takes away the he said, she said, this is the way the call flowed. This is what transpired. You sounded a little testy there, not exactly good customer service. So it's a great tool for us. I've worked with Avaya. I definitely feel, this is definitely a great product. If you want to take a look at it. But we really enjoyed the deployment process and the collaboration that we've had with both Microsoft and Clarity. So that really completes my slides operationally. I hope that, yeah, can I?
In old days, there was monitoring by supervisors or managers. How do you guys handle the, immediate monitoring instead of going back later and
getting reported yourself? So pretty much as necessary. So I'm not sure if we need to listen to a call immediately, we can. But we definitely we have certain metrics that I require my leaders on my team to ensure that they're monitoring on a regular basis. And then they have those discussions in their one-on-ones monthly with their team members. Could you do it real time? Oh. Well, Jeremy, I'll let you. Work very closely. Come on, don't be shy.
We have real-time monitoring capabilities. You can silently join a call, silently monitor it. You can whisper join so that you can coach your agents. And then once you've engaged either of those functions, if you need to barge in for whatever reason, if the call is going sideways,
you have that
option available as well.
Yeah.
Correct.
Are you going to talk about the whisper coaching?
You can whisper join the call, which is called coaching. So you can speak as the supervisor or manager. The agent hears you as a whisper in their ear, and the caller never hears you. So you could coach new agents along, or if somebody's having a particularly tough call and needed some assistance, you could provide it in that manner.
Thanks for the question.
Great. Yes.
I just have a general question about what you did to prepare your agents and to train them, not only on the new, on a new system, but also the difference between coming into a standard place of work and actually working at home. That seems like a pretty big transition to make.
Yeah, I have to explain this to Eric a lot. He's more interested in the technology, but there was a lot of change management preparation that came with that, right? So we knew, American Express has been deploying virtual strategies, and so we've definitely really built a lot of communications and time, ensuring that we're really checking the boxes in terms of the deployment when people are moving virtually. But there is the readiness level is key, and making people feel that they're set up for success. So we actually did develop a very intensive training session. It started out probably the first couple of days, when we had the 50 plus resources, maybe a 3-hour session, and as we went through it, we clipped it down to about an hour and a half. They were pretty, the feedback from the counselors is phenomenal in terms of the call quality, of being able to use the tool. And so because most of the team in the U.S. had actually been on Microsoft, they were familiar with Link. American Express uses Link. That's our internal communicator tool. So it wasn't a complete surprise to them. And now as we go to other markets, same thing with UK and Ireland, the dedicated team came partially from working with Microsoft and from another account. So those folks ramped up just same amount of time. It really was very easy to acclimate.
Was it a big hurdle, to get people comfortable working from home on a schedule versus a call center?
They were so excited. We really talked about this. I mean, I kept them, engaged in every step of the way in terms of the process and where we were. And so they, considering, the U.S. team had to commute to Bellevue, and that can be kind of dicey for those of you in that area, they were just thrilled. And the thing is, because we've got all this data, right, I know what they're doing every second of the day. They're not doing their laundry. They're not making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They need to be on the clock when... otherwise they, risk performance consequences. So it really, I feel like we've got every metric that we need to really understand their performance. And one thing that I do want to share with you is that, clearly invoking this new technology, moving the agents home during our busiest season, you would think that those are a lot of like, oh my goodness, the circadian rhythms, everything's crashing together, it's a perfect storm. Our customer satisfaction results for the month of January for U.S. were 98% top two box, and for U.K. and Ireland, we just implemented in mid-January, they're tracking at 100% top two box. So people feel good about the experience, and that's the end goal.
And one other thing to add to that, too, is the flexibility that we're looking for is in travel, things can happen that are very different for different people. Right. So if all the New York airports shut right now, it would affect Microsoft to some extent. So dozens of people. If the Seattle airport went down, it would affect thousands of people. But those things in a global network, that we're able to adjust to those things depending on who needs to work, who needs to work when, and you can get people to come on maybe for a 2-hour shift in the late in the evening. You can do split shifts. All the flexibility that we can add in as we move towards this 24/7 model is just fantastic, because you don't necessarily need people there from 8 till 4.
And the other piece is the split shifts or being able to do that is great, but we're also not limited anymore. We've got to find this talent in Bellevue or Seattle, or I can really extend my search now for talent and resource outside, because I'm not limited by you have to come into this building in order to do your job. Yeah.
Another question?
Do we do anything special for them?
Like
drive over in their and clean their house or something while we're...
That would be great. But in terms of the network and computers and stuff like that, do you do anything special?
So we do a lot of town halls. We do a lot of communication. We do a lot of recognition. We do a lot of training.
No, I meant in terms of technical stuff. I mean, do you actually get their networks? How do you make sure that the quality is going to be good when they're coming out of...
How do we make sure?
We provided them
guidelines. Right. Oh, you mean
affect your voice quality the most.
Yes.
Is them being able to send their voice? Most everybody with high speed internet has plenty of downstream bandwidth, but the upload is what's more important. So we provided some minimum guidance.
Yeah, we are. We do, but you're exactly correct. We did have to look at a little expanded bandwidth, but we have an amazing 60 plus people are home in the within a 2-week time frame. We didn't have any blips in terms of connectivity or being able to get up on the system. None of that happened, which, knock on wood, because I've done other deployments with virtual environments where travel counselors aren't necessarily tech savvy in terms of getting themselves right, booted up again, and that can cause a lot of issues in terms of SLA performance and downtime, so we don't want that to happen. So good point.
And another thing that I want to say, so for the deployment itself, so we had a network assessment, so we actually got sure that on the data center side, also between data centers or between different pools for the link deployment, the network quality and also the design was absolutely okay. And for the agents, so we actually created a profile based on what kind of requirements on the software side, on the hardware side, and as you said before, also on the network side, we actually had to implement. And we measured it, right? So on the link side, we're not talking only about links. So we are actually also using some tools on the top of link that actually measuring the network quality so that we can ensure that we can hold a certain SLA inside the company to American Express and to our customers on the top. Yeah, so it's a little bit of a customized link environment, but something that you can duplicate easily with the tools and with the mechanism that we used for the deployment. Yes. Let me repeat the question. So there are a few tools, reporting tools and some others. Yes. So there's basically, when you see the link environment, right? So we're having more than 3,500 different add-ons, tools, applications, right? So I call it a bit an app store for link, which is basically the case. And in some areas, you find extensions from Microsoft, some best practices, some tools that we are using, that we are recommending to our customers. There's also a very good documentation, even now certification for the network assessment, you know, the network performance, latency for audio, video, for all the different layers of communication for link available. And our partner ecosystem, actually we are using, and I think it's okay to say that, but we're using PowerView and PowerMon from one of our partners, UnifySquare, mm-hmm. also in our environment, and we're measuring, tracking down, and reporting actually any issues that we're having on the network side and the network layer between servers, between client, between any kind of link endpoint. So even a phone or your mobile client, we could actually measure that and could say, hey, is the quality okay or is it not okay?
One other thing, we did take a lot of variables out too. Everything's hardwired, so you get rid of wireless speed and Bluetooth right. headphones and things like that, just to take away those variables as you're trying to track down any potential issues.
And one thing that I want to call out, so I forgot that actually. So certified and optimized devices is another thing. So very often, we actually saw that we don't have issues on the network side, especially during the pilot or during the first part of the project. We actually recognize that you know, certified devices, headsets, microphones, are sometimes an issue, actually very often. So there was we introduced then afterwards the certified link devices to American Express and said, okay, for those kind of profiles, we would recommend device A, B, and C, right? And you know, there are certified companies or optimized devices actually for link, and this is actually what we added on.
So you're saying that you have an issue?
We wanted to get sure that we have a certain standard for devices and certain devices on the agent side and on the supervisor side, right? And before the project, I'm not really sure what we had before, but I think there was a mix of different devices actually. And then there was maybe the situation where we changed or where we exchanged some of the devices to a better level, right?
So the certification actually helped.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you think about headsets from Jabra, Plantronics, Sennheiser, mm-hmm. and so many different companies, right? There's a huge difference if you make a call, a video call, or in this case, an audio call for those devices, or if you go through an old headset that you connect to your Windows device, and you go for the, you know, the standard connection, right? I mean, there can be a 70% difference on, you can understand someone, and you can communicate, or you have no idea what's going on the call, right? So there's a huge variety, yeah, what can happen. So we definitely recommend it, and for agents, supervisors, and also for other contact center projects that we had within Microsoft, this is a must have. Yeah. Needs to be part of the deployment, it needs to be part of the planning. Yeah. I think you had a question.
You had a question.
It's a question about the, back to his question about the network for, more specific, not to link voice, and more to like the screen pops, and how are you providing access to customer information from people at their home PCs, and they're now logging into, you've got PCI compliance issues. How are they getting to that data, that customer data? How are they consuming that? How are they logging in? How are they authenticating? Is it all coming through the link client? I mean, is everything routed through there and it's all going to the edge server? Is there VPN connectivity required or direct access or something like that? What's the methodology like for Clarity Connect? I think it's more specific to your product that you guys are doing instead of the voice side of it, or unless it somehow goes to the edge. I don't know about.
Well,
and we do a feed into Clarity that's got things like your mobile number. So if I dial the phone number, because we do have hard phone numbers also from here, my mobile number goes across in that feed, so it's able to identify me from that too. It shows what country I'm in, some basic data. It tends to be more MBI. We're not putting credit card number or home address or anything like that through there. So that's really how most of that data goes across. Plus, the agents actually do have limited access to the network. Through its VPN,
right?
And so we've limited where they can go on the network. They need to know things like the address book so they can find maybe, okay, let me see if I can find this person's manager. We want them to have some of that access, to be able to go in and find where offices are and things like that. But they don't have access to everything on the SharePoints and intranet.
But in terms of authentication and securing of that information, we're either going to be dependent on HTTPS for securing the information and then whatever authentication is already in place on the back end.
You're just putting into a URL?
Today, that's all we're doing. One of the things we're looking at doing moving forward, though, is inverting that model. And in that case, basically injecting the call center functionality into an existing web-based application. And where Microsoft is going with the investments they're making in the Link APIs, there's some newer and interesting things we can do there. To, for example, think about a Salesforce screen, for example. You know, we could embed the button you need to use to click to answer that call directly in Salesforce mm-hmm. or Dynamic CRM, whatever it might be. But we can inject that into the host application and kind of invert that model. So in that case, it becomes a little bit cleaner in terms of how are you securing access to the information, because we're really just putting a couple of additional things around answering the call and handling the call into your existing application.
Hi, thank you. You mentioned that, that you guys provided some recommended guidelines for upload speeds. Can you tell me what the guidelines were, please?
Yeah, the good news.
So the good news for that is it's the exact same guidelines for any link calls. So in this case, it's a multi-party call. I believe with the latest codecs you're looking for, a guaranteed 64 KB both up and down with, yeah. So basically, if you go look at Microsoft's guidance for bandwidth requirements for multi-party calls, there's no difference. It's exactly the same. And that's the same guidance we provide all of our customers, is just as long as all of your network links are within the guidelines provided for link, you'll be fine.
Although, and we went over that, right? The requirements for the agents, I think we said 1.5 meg.
Yeah. I'm not.
Simply because that's not, if we're going to have issues, let's not have issues with bandwidth. And we know that as we move forward that we're going to want more and more data going across these lines. So we decided to go with, I mean, I doubled anything that anybody said. Figured that it would be rather be safe than sorry on that.
And two things that I would recommend. So when you go to the Microsoft web, you find two things. So one thing is a table. The table describes the minimum codec, the maximum codec, also the maximum bandwidth, sorry, the codecs, the description, and also the average network performance that you need. So what we actually did for this project and for some other projects, and what I can recommend to you is that you have a look, and then afterwards that you take this bandwidth plus IM plus presence, maybe video, whatever you want to use, and you add it on, right? And then you get a really good average performance on the network side that you need. That's number one. Number two, Microsoft offers a bandwidth calculator. So that's actually a tool that you can download on website for your contact center, for your use. And then afterwards, you can actually give in the profile, the user profile, how often you communicate with video and audio and IM and sharing and so on, which is actually for multi-channel contact center a very important thing. And then afterwards, at the end, you get out basically the assessment and also the recommendation of what kind of network you should have, what kind of minimum and maximum and average speed we see for our link application in terms of your scenarios. Right? It's available. And this is something that we used for this project. Eric just doubled it a little bit to be on the safe side, which is OK. You can do that as well. But the rest of the information is published. Oh, dear. It's actually my favorite topic. one of my favorite topics. Yeah. So the question was actually the tools for Link which are available, right? Yes, exactly. So to advertise a little bit, we have tomorrow, on Wednesday and on Thursday, we're having a couple of demo sessions. So you can see a lot of tools, a lot of add-ons, a lot of partner solutions live. I'm more than happy actually to give you give you the information about the sessions. So basically, in there's also a website that I'm more than happy to share later. But basically, there are a lot of different areas where we're having add-ons and tools from the partner side or even from Microsoft for Link. And there are reporting BI tools. There are contact center tools like, or applications like from Clarity. You have, there's so much different stuff from web chat integration up to, you know, some CRM type integration. So there's a huge catalog of different applications. It really depends on what you need. For our use and for our project, we actually chose Clarity based on the context and the features and capabilities that Clarity has as product offering, based on the requirements for American Express and the environment that we're having at Microsoft. And I mentioned actually Unify Square before. So Unify Square was, it's one of our partners. I have to say there are many partners actually that are developing some other tools or some similar applications. But we use basically a kind of extended reporting. So if you know the monitoring server of Link, there's an extension to the monitoring server, and you can actually create some automated reports. You see actually the measurement of the voice quality, of video quality. You get some, you know, some average, or so you get some reports. You get some notifier. So a lot of the monitoring capabilities that we're having, we extended with the tool, based on what we needed for the contact center. So the question was about voice quality. That's actually the most important one, right? if your contact center is voice or video based, right? So for voice quality, basically all the data, we store the data on a SQL server, which is part of the Link environment. So the data is there, right? And now we tried, okay, how can we analyze the data in real time? How can we see actually if we're having issues between the contact centers, right? Because it's not only one deployment, we're having a multi-deployment, because on the Microsoft side, there are couple of different data centers, and this actually is split integration between two different data centers on the Microsoft side. So what we basically used is an extension on the monitoring server, something similar as I mentioned before, and we are tracking down every call. So we're measuring the endpoints, and based on the endpoints, which is, you know, a phone, or it can be the Link line or mobile phone, or in this case, it's actually Link line on the agent side, we can actually basically say, okay, the network quality was okay, based on our configuration that we have in the system, or it's not okay. And if it's not okay, then we can track it down. Is it an issue on the Link side? Is it on our Edge server? Is it on the network side? So you can see based on the data that we are storing on SQL Server that we're actually analyzing with those added-on tools on the monitoring server, you can actually specify, okay, where is the, you know, the trouble area in the Link deployment, and where do we have to look? And that can be on the network side, it can be on, it can be the Windows server, it can be the client side, it can be the microphone I mentioned before, the headset or the device, or it can be the configuration. In some cases, we actually saw, hey, there's a configuration issue on Link, we have to fix that, or maybe there's something on the Clarity side that we have to improve, and then we actually got rid of the issue and continue to run the data center.
Or the did you have any issues with hardware or drivers that was impacting quality?
Drivers, that's a good question. So hardware, definitely. We had, during the deployment process, definitely experiences with some servers that went down. Gosh, on the network side.
I'm thinking more from the agent and the client that they have a workstation that they're using and the drivers are on and they're not responding properly.
No, so from the driver side or from the agent side, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we hadn't have issues there actually. Most of the, see, for this project, we actually integrated a new Link integration in a new data center, right? So it was a new deployment. And based on the new deployment, we actually, you know, recognized some issues on the hardware side, server configuration, Windows activation was one thing. Basically, what I can recommend is that you have a process and you have actually a script on what things do you have to check and to proof actually after the deployment process, which you should do anyway after every Link integration, to get sure that the environment itself, without Clarity, only the Link environment already has a 4.9 or 3.9 SLA. And then on the top you have Clarity, which is basically another couple of things that you have to check. In our case, I can actually remember that we had two Windows Server activation problems, right? And the Windows Server went down, and then of course it affected the contact center.
Just to add to that briefly, from our experience across all of our customer bases, we haven't had agents' desktop performance issues really with anybody who is running on a multi-core CPU. Yep. We have had some customers that were going back far enough to running XP on single core CPUs that did introduce voice quality issues with just handling the voice stream efficiently. But basically, anybody who's on a multi-core CPU, the OS and drivers, by and large, as Daniel mentioned, as long as they're sticking to Link certified devices and they're not just, you know, getting a random headset and plugging it in and happens to work with Link and running with it, and they're on a multi-core CPU, we haven't seen any issues attributable to desktop performance.
And Kathy, with your home agents, are they, they're all up a separate line for work than they would for their personal internet?
Yes,
is that right?
Absolutely.
Because okay. I'll give you an example that I had the other day when my call quality went down dramatically, and I didn't know why. So I was on a call, and for some reason, I just couldn't connect. I didn't know what was happening. And then I found out later that my wife was upstairs working, and the kids were downloading a movie, all on the same wireless network.
Yeah.
Right? So something that wouldn't have anything to do with the... We've tried to take all of that away from the agent side, take as many variables as possible away from their side, so at least then they can coach the end user, hey, could you call me back? Maybe you need to get to a landline. Could you do a, you know, dial in versus doing a link call, that kind of thing. Yeah.
One other thing actually that I can remember was, so when you connect the device, the audio device, like a Jabra device or Sennheiser or whatever, right? When you connect it to the desktop, right? It's not always the standard device. So for some agents, especially for the water projects that we had, we recognized that the agent is talking with the customer, for example, but the device is not the device which actually should be the right device for the communication. So it's not the Jabra device, it's probably the microphone and the speaker set on the laptop, right, which is integrated. Okay. So voice quality was affected, but not because of a network issue, more because the agent used basically the wrong device, and we had to change the configuration in the Link client or in a Windows operation system to set the Jabra headset as default device, so the wrong default device. That happened very, very often. That's maybe a recommendation, but the rest was basically, I think, fine from the agency.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you guys customize the configuration to ensure that that wasn't an error that would reoccur?
No. Okay. It's more procedure, so when we configure new agents or training agents, that we actually training also, hey, this is the way how you can change your audio device. Maybe we change or we exchange the audio device in future to a newer device, right? So this is how you change it, and you can get sure that you always select the right equipment for the communication.
Okay, so I'll move forward and with our looking forward section. So I'll tell you a little bit like, this is where we're heading in the future. And really, what we've built today has been great. We've made a move forward. We've been able to move the agents home. But this is all just foundation for what we're really trying to do. So moving forward, really 24-hour servicing with dedicated agents. So right now, in the US, during business hours, you had dedicated agents. But almost everywhere else in the world, you were just calling somebody who says, oh, I see you work for Microsoft. It was just a call center. You know, you might be, if you're in Romania, you were calling Romania. We had 70-plus different call centers around the world.
49 different configurations and how to book travel.
So consistency, I mean, you could have, yeah, there was a certain level of consistency, but they weren't necessarily experts on Microsoft. If you said, hey, I'm going to Redmond, well, are you going to Sammamish or are you going to Redmond or Redmond Town Center? That we want the agents to be able to know that, and 24 hours a day, too. Right now, you get to the after hours, and they, you know, there's limited ability even to look at your records. If we can get all of this within the envelope of this call center, we really have a lot more ability to do that. We want them to access phone, email, IM records from previous interactions because, in fact, one thing that we found, and maybe it's because we're Microsoft, but that phone is actually not the preferred method, right? That it's actually, it's email is a huge number of transactions go on email. We have online, you know, IM, and I don't know if you guys see this, but as a Microsoft employee, I'll just share, you never call somebody out of the cold. First, you see if they're available. Then you send them a chat to see if they've got time to talk. Or you might even say, could you call me after the conference call that I see you're on, that sort of thing. But the way that people interact is changing. And also, as I mentioned a little bit before, the smart queuing based on need, history, and language. So we can actually look at those things and be able to say, I know you'd like German, but would you like English right now? Or would you rather wait a little bit for German? Yeah. So how long would you wait for English versus German?
Would you? Okay.
The other one, too, is multimodal communication. And this is where I think it's a complete shift in the way that we we're starting to see that we communicate in a day-to-day basis today, and I think this is going to change more. And actually, one travel stat that I can say that we know we're changing the way we communicate, our T&E as a percentage of revenue has dropped by 0.5% in the last 5 years. We can't attribute that directly to Link necessarily, but that 0.5% is about $400 million that we would have expected to spend on travel. So if you would have asked me 5 years ago what we would be spending today, we would be at like $1.2 to $1.3 billion instead of $800 million because we changed the way that we communicate. So the medium is becoming less important than the content. When you send an email, it doesn't mean just get back to me whenever. When you send an IM, it doesn't mean I need to know immediately. Or a phone call doesn't mean I need to know immediately. You might be in your car. That's why you make a phone call and you can't do anything else. So we need to figure out a way to prioritize these better. And by bringing them all to the same system, we'll be able to do that. So that it could be a really urgent email and you've got limited bandwidth and nothing left on your phone and you're stuck in an airport in Azerbaijan. But that could be really, really urgent where you can't make a phone call. So we want to be able to really prioritize all those, bring them into the same single system. And this also will improve the queuing and the phone servicing. So I'm going to show you, I think this is my last slide I'll kind of walk you through here. This is actually what we think the future of travel will look like, the way that you make your bookings. You're no longer going to a city, you're no longer going to a hotel. To tell you the truth, I had to be in this room by 1:30 today. That was my only requirement. I didn't need to tell them I need to fly into Las Vegas. Flying into LA would have been a long haul to drive over, but technically it would have worked. I just needed to be here at this time, which is very different than the process today. So I'll walk you through a couple things. Yeah, connecting with coworkers and peers based on proximity and shared itineraries. Now I happen to know, is it letting me walk through here? There we go. I happen to know there are probably several hundred Microsoft people. There were probably a few on my flight. In the future, I should be able to just share and say, hey, we're grabbing a cab to the hotel because we're all going to the same conference on the same time and are on the same flight. Same thing on the way home. So those sort of things really will become a new way to communicate with each other. We think that Link is actually probably a good way that we can do some of that. We're able to take all the travel records and pull them together. So it's the exact location and time integrated into your search. Also, targeted choices based on a smart profile. So knowing that if I was flying Delta or Alaska almost all the time, you wouldn't show me an American flight to get here. You wouldn't show me a code share on that. Right? You would look for my previous history. You would look for my corporate history to find out which carriers people tend to fly when they fly Seattle to Las Vegas. In fact, even at this time of day, you could see which of those work and, in fact, which ones are most reliable. Hotel suggestions based on the meeting location, right? So I might stay at this hotel, but maybe you're in a city like New York. You're not necessarily going to stay in the same building. But show me someplace that's nearby. And nearby, once again, doesn't necessarily mean across the street. It could mean that it's on the same subway line and you're two stops away. And it's a really easy way to drop down, get to the meeting and back. So looking at proximity not based on just on physical distance, but on ease of getting from one place to another. And then the last one is this social interaction among participants. So the other people that you know, looking at your calendar, looking at your invites, who are the other speakers that were on this that I might want to say, hey, is everybody going to be there at 1:30? Just a single click, right? Not going in and looking up everybody's mobile numbers, and then maybe I'll send a text to this person and an email over here, right? It's really integrating all of those experiences together. And all of this is really what we're aiming for. But we think that communication and a way to seamlessly integrate, to have this seamless trip where things are easy, where you can connect with the people you want to connect with, you can get to the places you want to go to, that all of that is really what we've started to build with the foundation here with our Link call centers. And I think that's a wrap.
Any questions?
Yeah. Yes.
I hope so.
More? No, that's good.
My question is specific to agent traps and tricks. In our contact center, as many, then agents will either disconnect a caller earlier or they'll transfer back into the queue or they'll put you on hold multiple times or transfer all their calls. All of these things are challenges with every contact center. So I was just wondering if the software addresses any of those issues.
There's definite tracking. There's no way if a call was forwarded or they avoided a call, it would be very apparent in the history of the event.
there's, that's the beauty of it. I mean, there's just absolutely no way around it. If they're signed in and available, the data would track.
Does it highlight that? So, again, all of my calls are 6 seconds long?
But that's a good enhancement.
Yeah, we don't sure do any kind of
No, they don't do any. That. Yeah, that's really up to us to manage that and to continue to monitor the records and ensure we're following those trends.
Just one other piece on that, too. We do also capture, we're inherently integrated with the link presence. So not only will we show you for a particular agent all of their call actions or the actions related to a particular call, but we also show their entire link presence throughout the day. So if they're marking themselves away or they're busy or doing other things to link that are blocking calls from coming in, we do capture and log that as well.
Great, thank you.
I'd say one other thing that's interesting that we do differently in one way is when we talk about
routing to the longest available agent, you talk about agent tricks. In traditional systems, when it's longest available, agents, when they see themselves close to the top of the list, will go busy available so that they drop back down. We actually look at the longest time since the agent handled a call. So even if they try those tricks, the system is smarter and it says, well, you still handled a call the longest time ago, so here it is.
Thank you.
Any other questions? So if you're interested in more contact center projects, examples, and some other cases that we have, Thursday morning, I would love to welcome you Thursday morning in our session. And we will actually show you more about the business case, how we plan this kind of integration, also some custom development that we did on top of the link, so you will see some live demos. So I will really welcome you. We might also have some prizes to win, but you're in the organization for that. Right? So. Yeah, if you don't have any other questions, then we probably have an earlier break. So I hope you enjoyed the session. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.